how many jobs were created in January, and what's the new unemployment rate?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In about a half hour, we'll get answers to those two questions when the Labor Department releases the most important economic indicator of the month, the January Employment Report. Economists are expecting it'll tell us that the U.S. economy added about 140,000 jobs last month, which would be the fourth straight month of job gains. But as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, the jobs that are being added aren't all great-paying jobs.
Hit the bars and restaurants lately? Apparently, yes. There have been 190,000 new hires in food service the last 2 years. Georgetown University economist Harry Holzer thinks the eating-out sector picks up early in a recovery. It's small-ticket spending. A burger costs less than, say, a fridge. And for employers, it's easy to hire cooks and waiters because they're also easy to fire. As for the better jobs,
employers were hesitating to bring workers back on where there is more of a commitment, where you have to pay benefits, and there's the expectation that people will stick around for longer.
Lots of higher-paying jobs lag behind, he says. Employers are still waiting for a sustained boost in demand from consumers and businesses. Construction is another question mark, says Berkeley labor economist Harley Shaken. Jobs like
electricians, pipe fitters, etc., that may work on construction projects. If you're not building houses or buildings, they're looking for work.
Of course, housing was the first sector to plunge into the economic hole, and maybe one of the last out. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Lights are back on in Texas this morning after rolling blackouts cut power to nearly 1.5 million households earlier this week. Officials say cold weather caused more than 50 power plants to fail, leaving the state's grid with little juice to feed demand. The problem's been solved, but not without cost. From KUT in Austin, Erica Aguilar reports.
Power plants have been working overtime since Wednesday to keep the state from implementing more blackouts. At one point, Mexico was sending electricity to Texas. Trip Doggett manages the state's power grid.
The price in certain intervals was $3,000 per megawatt hour.
The average price this time of year is less than $100 per megawatt hour. So who pays for the extra cost? Doggett fielded that question at a press conference Thursday.
It actually gets passed to what we refer to as a retail electric provider.
In other words, utilities. So would that cost ultimately shift down to customers?
Ultimately, that would.
Texas officials continue to ask people to cut back on energy. The grid still lacks enough power for 600,000 homes. Snow and low temperatures are expected to linger through today. In Austin, I'm Erica Aguilar for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia. With cotton prices at record highs, the world's biggest cotton exchange is cracking down on speculators who are in it for the money, not the cotton. Investors who want more than 30,000 bales will have to show they actually need the cotton. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 20 points to close at 12,062.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Here in the U.S., about 45% of households own stock. But in Germany, that number is only 10%, which is something the people who run the stock exchange there would like to change. Marketplace's David Brancaccio continues his Economy 4.0 series now. It's about the changing global economy, and he filed this report from Munich.
Bernard Unemann is a journalist and a big name on Germany's financial TV channel. Viewers have a hunger for business news, he says, but not necessarily because Germans want to buy stock themselves.
Their investment is much more conservative. There are a lot of regrets.
Regrets about what happened the last time many Germans went gaga over stocks in the late 90s when their big phone company sold shares for the first time. Deutsche Telekom stock went up 700%. Germans also snapped up dot-com shares.
Definitely, they became interested, or they became greedy, whatever you prefer to say. And when the bubble burst, people lost a lot, some of them about 90% of their assets.
Since then, Germans have gravitated toward insurance products, often sold by local banks. But Rainer Ries, a managing director at the German Stock Exchange, argues that the financial turbulence in the last 2 years is why folks should diversify their portfolios with stocks.
So introducing more equity culture in Germany and in Europe in the widest sense is something that's absolutely necessary.
Stock Exchange is now promoting stock ownership through an online sweepstakes it conducts with the German newspaper Handelsblatt. Contestants begin with 20,000 euros in fake money and use real securities prices to trade online for 3 months. The latest winner is this young man, 30-year-old Klaus Neukert of Munich.
So how did you do?
1.4 million.
1.4 million euros.
Yes. Unbelievable.
He's no rube off the street. Neukert is a bond expert at a major bank and used derivatives to win the contest. His prize, a sweet Porsche 911 Carrera. If only he can find a way to pay for the car's insurance, about $9,000 a year in real cash. In Munich, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And there's more on the German economy on David's Economy 4.0 blog. That's at marketplace.org. And finally, to Silver Spring, Maryland, where a power outage led a young man to break into someone's home to charge his phone and to steal some jewelry. Well, according to the Washington Post, the burglar was discovered in mid-burgle. He ran out of the house without his phone. Authorities then used his phone to track him down, and they're now charging him with 10 other burglaries in the area. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
With the economy on a slow rebound, one family of entrepreneurs is starting a business that looks back hundreds of years in history.
We realized that there was a need for a publication for reenactors, a high-quality publication.
I'm Bob Moon. Starting up a print magazine in the digital age? That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.